don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. As we hit last week an article on Peter Wella, I want to keep that theme going and hit one every 4 or 5 episodes, like, you know, maybe once a week, of other people in the development space and working on a lot of the big developments and projects within the crypto economy, as well as historical figures who have been important for much longer than even Bitcoin's existence, which will be today's, and this is on unblock.net, and they also have a number of other articles about profiles of people and their history and what they're working on. But this one is on Nick Szabo. And if you don't know him, this will be required reading for you guys. Nick Szabo is a living legend, as this article puts it, and I think it's a great one, so we'll go ahead and jump into it. This is, again, on unblock.net, and it is titled, Who is Nick Szabo, the Mysterious Blockchain Titan? It's published on January 11th, 2018, by Stefan Stankovic. Nick Szabo is a living legend in both the cryptocurrency and cryptography worlds, although he's not a household name, and if you're new to the crypto games, you probably would have never heard of him. However, Nick Szabo has godlike status amongst the sincere crypto enthusiasts. The man's extensive range of interest, extending from the origins of money, economic and legal history, to cryptography and blockchain technology, makes him a natural polymath and a one-of-a-kind man. Both a computer scientist and a legal scholar, he married his two central interests and in 1996 gave birth to the concept of smart contracts. Many years later, smart contracts became the central feature of the Ethereum blockchain protocol and gave rise to a whole new way of commerce on the internet. Having said that, Nick Szabo remains a puzzling character. His blog, Unenumerated, is a temple of his thoughts and ideas. However, with more than 100 entries starting from 2005 up until now, one cannot find any personal information about Nick on his blog, or anywhere else for that matter. Just so you don't get the wrong idea, he's not anonymous by any means. He has given many public lectures, worked as a consultant on several projects, regularly uses Twitter to share his ideas, but that is all we got. He was never a professor at George Washington University, as widely reported and believed. We do not know his age, where he lives, or whether he prefers coffee over tea. We do not know anything except his thoughts on the world of technology and finance. And maybe it's for the best. The world has buried and neglected countless of genius ideas because of some personal misconducts of the originators. You should never judge a book by its cover, or judge an idea by its originator. As C.G. Jung once concluded, people don't have ideas. Ideas have people. Nick Szabo's body of work. As a pioneer in the world of cryptocurrency, Nick Szabo's body of work is extensive. One article couldn't possibly digest all the concepts presented on his blog. However, we can distinguish two of them as the most impactful ideas on society: Bitgold and smart contracts. Bitgold. Nick is probably best known in the cryptocurrency circles by his paper on Bitgold. This paper is believed by many to be the inception of Bitcoin. In the papers, Szabo clearly identifies the problem of the dependence of modern financial systems on a third trusted party and envisions an alternative. Quote, "It would be very nice if there were a protocol whereby unforgeable costly bits could be created online with minimal dependence on trusted third parties, and then securely stored, transferred, and assayed with similar minimal trust. Bitgold," end quote. Based on the words of Mr. Szabo, trusted third parties, or TTP, are security holes. When a protocol relies on TTP, It has to patch the holes in security that the mere centralization creates, and that can be very costly. The protocol then needs to integrate the cost of security into the cost of operating, and that ultimately leads to additional expenses to the end users of the protocol. Besides security and expenses, third trusted parties, as the name suggests, need to be trusted, which is a problem in itself and needs to be eliminated wherever possible. Here's more to add to that. The name BitGold stands for the two key characteristics of the online payment system it represents: bit, for the bits being sent and received, and gold, for the fact that the systems resemble the qualities of precious metals, serves more as a commodity, and doesn't rely on a TTP. Does all of this sound familiar? Yep. He essentially described the idea of Bitcoin. In his BitGold paper, Szabo lays the grounds for his then hypothetical protocol. Quote, "Here are the main steps of the BitGold system that I envision. 1. A public string of bits, the challenge string, is created. 2. Alice on her computer generates the proof of work string from the challenge bits using a benchmark function. 3. The proof of work is securely timestamped. This should work in a distributed fashion with several different timestamp services so that no particular timestamp service need be substantially relied on. 4. Alice adds the challenge string and the timestamped proof of work string to a distributed property title registry for BitGold. Here, too, no single server is substantially relied on to properly operate the registry. 5. The last created string of BitGold provides the challenge bits for the next created string. 6. To verify that Alice is the owner of a particular string of BitGold, Bob checks the unforgeable chain of title in the BitGold title registry. 7. To assay the value of a string of BitGold, Bob checks and verifies the challenge bits, the proof of work string, and the timestamp. Note that Alice's control over her BitGold does not depend on her sole possession of the bits, but rather on her lead position in the unforgeable chain of title, a chain of digital signatures, in the title registry. All of this can be automated by software. The main limits to the security of this scheme are how well trust can be distributed in steps 3 and 4, and the problem of machine architecture, which will be discussed below. End quote. In summary, looking at Szabo's BitGold proposal, we can see the birth of an idea that will later change the world. Bitcoin didn't come out of the blue. It was self-admittedly designed and inspired by several different technologies, and one of them was BitGold. Satoshi didn't directly refer to BitGold in his Bitcoin white paper, but the similarities and influences are obvious. Of course, there are notable technical differences. For example, Bitcoin's consensus algorithm counts the hashing power as votes for achieving consensus, rather than counting the network addresses, like BitGold does. In addition to this, Bitcoin is more fungible than its predecessor, due to the difficulty adjustment system on the proof-of-work algorithm. Nevertheless, the philosophy behind both of the ideas is one and the same: removing TTPs, solving the problem of inflation, and creating an online currency system that can be trusted, securely transferred, and stored. Smart contracts. Today, when you read the news on the latest developments in the cryptocurrency industry, you can frequently stumble upon articles about new ICOs, their potential to change the way in which certain elements of an industry works, new ICO scams, frauds, ICO tokens reaching mind-blowing growth in prices in ridiculously short time frames, and whatnot. All of this was enabled by an invention called smart contracts that was first conceived by Nick Szabo and 20 years later implemented in the Ethereum protocol. Nick Szabo's article, quote, "Smart Contracts, Building Blocks for Digital Free Markets," was published in 1996, and in it, he described the idea of establishing a contractual agreement between strangers on the internet using self-executing code. The contract is the foundation of a free market economy. In fact, an argument can be made that it's the sole foundation of society. Rousseau's social contract theory is based on this idea, and Western culture is built on it. Since the first civilizations, Contracts have evolved and adapted to society's needs, and they continue to do so today. Nick Szabo's idea of smart contracts is nothing but an extension of this natural cycle in the age past industrial revolution, the new digital age. In his 1996 article, he states, quote, "The basic idea of smart contracts is that many kinds of contractual clauses, such as liens, bonding, delineation of property rights, etc., can be embedded in the hardware and software that we deal with in such a way as to make breach of contract expensive, if desired, sometimes prohibitively so, for the breacher." End quote. He then proceeds to make the analogy of the vending machine as a real-world example of an embodied smart contract. If you think about it for a moment, it's a genius example. The vending machine is the simplest form of a self-executing contract. If you put the right coin in and press the right buttons, you get a can of soda. If you make a mistake during the process or the machine is not able to deliver your soda, it spits back out the coin you gave it. It's essentially a self-executing if this, then that contractual agreement. And yet we usually never think about it this way when we use it. So what's so good about these so-called smart contracts, you ask? In his visionary work, Nick Szabo distills four basic objectives of contract design. Observability, the ability of the principals to observe each other's performance of the contract. Verifiability, the ability of a principal to prove to an arbiter that a contract has been performed or breached, or the ability of the arbiter to find this out by other means. Privity, the principle that knowledge and control over the contents and performance of a contract should be distributed among parties only as much as is necessary for the performance of the contract. And enforceability, measured in the likelihood of a contract's ability to be enforced. Whether the contractual agreement has been designed efficiently or not can be roughly judged by its execution of the four basic objectives. Nick Szabo argues that smart contracts enable both parties to observe each other's performance of the contract, easily verify whether the agreed-upon terms have been met, disclose only the details necessary for the completion of the contract, and lastly, reduce the cost of enforcing the contract because of the innate quality of smart contracts to be self-executing when all criteria are met. Smart contracts make all this vastly easier and more efficient. That is, if they're designed correctly. Szaboshi Nikimoto. Do you notice something special in the name? Seems to look like an anagram for me. Maybe this will give you an idea. On the 31st of October 2008, a white paper named Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, appeared on a cryptography mailing list, authored under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. In January of 2009, the Genesis block was minted into existence by Satoshi Nakamoto, and embedded in it was the message, quote, "The Times, 3rd of January 2009, Chancellor on brink of the second bailout for banks," end quote. 9 years later, at present, Bitcoin has a market cap value of $300 billion. Many things have changed since, but one thing remains the same. The entity that created it resides unknown. The price of one Bitcoin is roughly $17,000. After doing your own math, you can probably see why there is all the fuss in the media about who this man is. There are many conspiracies surrounding Satoshi, and many researchers who claim they found him, but none of them are conclusive. So what has Nick Szabo have to do with all of this? Well, prior to the release of Bitcoin, there were a few digital cash solutions that most likely were an inspiration or an influence to Satoshi. Adam Back's Hashcash, Wei Dai's B-Money, Hal Finney's reusable proof of work, and finally Nick Szabo's BitGold. All of them individually are suspected by different conspiracy theorists to be Satoshi himself. Some even propose that Bitcoin's white paper was a product of the joint effort of all of the above. However, the focus of this article is Nick Szabo. So let's take into consideration some of the arguments and see if it's possible to make the connection. The Bitcoin-BitGold connection. After reading Nick Szabo's BitGold white paper, it becomes clear that Bitcoin as a philosophy or as a technological concept was already conceived in Szabo's head 4 years before the release of Bitcoin. In April 2008, Szabo apparently decided to manifest his idea into reality and wrote the following on his blog. Quote, BitGold would greatly benefit from a demonstration, an experimental market, with e.g. a trusted third party substituted for the complex security that would be needed for a real system. Anybody want to help me code one up? End quote. 7 months later, Bitcoin was released, and interestingly enough, Szabo changed the date of his BitGold post from April 2008 to December 2008, making it appear as if it was posted after Satoshi's white paper. Making things even more suspicious is the fact that Satoshi never referenced Szabo's work in the white paper, which is unimaginable considering the similarities between the two. Shortly, in 2010, Bitcoin broke the 1 cent barrier and rose over 20 cents per coin, and yet Nick didn't even mention Bitcoin that year as if it didn't exist. Fishy, hey? Some internet scavengers also noticed some very peculiar things in the sequence of events. Namely, while Satoshi was still actively working on the Bitcoin protocol in 2010, Szabo didn't even mention Bitcoin on his blog. When Satoshi steps down at the end of 2010, suddenly Szabo starts talking about cryptocurrency again. Also, let's not forget that Nick never released that BitGold project in reality, even though he was asking for help just months before the announcement of Bitcoin. It looks like things are starting to add up. The Hal Finney connection. It's widely known that Nick Szabo knew Hal Finney since 1993, and they communicated and exchanged ideas more than once. Hal was an early Bitcoin user. In fact, he received the first Bitcoin transaction from Satoshi Nakamoto. In addition to that, Hal lived in the same small town for 10 years, just a few blocks away from Dorian Satoshi Nakamoto, the guy who was initially accused by some reporters to be the creator of Bitcoin. An author writing an article for New York Times called, quote, Decoding the Enigma of Satoshi Nakamoto and the Birth of Bitcoin, wrote the following, quote, Just hours after Newsweek's story hit the web, I received an email from an old cryptography community acquaintance of Finney's who has asked to remain anonymous. The email was titled, What Are the Odds? It pointed out that Hal Finney had lived for almost a decade in Temple City, the same 36,000-person town where Newsweek found Dorian Nakamoto. Finney's address was only a few blocks away from the Nakamoto's family home. End quote. He then proceeds to explain that as his research got deeper and deeper, he got more and more convinced that, in fact, Nick Szabo is the name behind pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto, and distinctly lays the reasons why he got this impression in great detail. If you're still not convinced, we saved the best for last. Aston University Forensic Linguistics. If you're not familiar with the case of Theodore John Kaczynski, also known as the Unabomber, this is probably the first time you'll hear about a field called forensic linguistics. Forensic linguistics is a branch of applied linguistics, and it is the application of linguistic knowledge, methods, and insights to written material with the aim of extrapolating as much information as possible from it. Although it sounds like some voodoo gibberish, it's actually a legitimate field of science that's helped police departments catch criminals numerous times. A group of forensic linguistics experts from Aston University conducted a study nicknamed Project Bitcoin that looked at the linguistic similarities between the Satoshi's Bitcoin white paper and the writings of 11 individuals that were commonly accused of being the possible creator of Bitcoin by conspiracy theorists. The study was conducted by 40 final year students led by Dr. Jack Grieve. After the study was finished, this is what he proclaimed. Quote, The number of linguistic similarities between Szabo's writing and the Bitcoin paper is uncanny. None of the other possible authors was anywhere near as good of a match. We're pretty confident that out of the list of people regularly referred to as possibilities, Nick Szabo is the main author of the paper, though we can't rule out the possibility that others contributed. Our study adds to the weight of evidence pointing towards Nick Szabo. The case looks pretty clear-cut. Szabo is an expert in law, finance, cryptography, and computer science. He created BitGold, a precursor to Bitcoin, and was looking for collaborators in 2008. Did Nick Szabo create Bitcoin? We're not sure, but we think he probably wrote the paper, so it's certainly worth a closer look. End quote. When we consolidate all of the arguments already mentioned, it all adds up to a pretty strong case. However, the real identity of Satoshi Nakamoto remains a mystery. Whether it's Szabo, or Hal, or both of them, or some other person altogether, we'll probably never know. The Titan reigns supreme. Nick Szabo's personal life may be an enigma, but his body of work puts him at the very top of most prominent persons in the blockchain industry. His blog continues to be one of the most well-thought-out blogs about cryptocurrency, distributed ledger technology, law, history of law and commerce, and of course, cryptography. Moreover, he's one of the most reputable experts in computer science out there and continues to lecture and spread his vast knowledge to the world. His opinions on anything related to cryptocurrencies are well respected and influential to this day. Nick Szabo's legacy will live on forever. Are you a fan of Nick Szabo now? What do you think about Satoshi's true identity? And that will conclude our article from unblock.net. Again, that was by Stefan Stankovic and was posted on January 11th, 2018, titled, Who is Nick Szabo, the Mysterious Blockchain Titan? So, I am not convinced one way or the other as to who Satoshi Nakamoto is. Nick Szabo and Hal Finney have always been on the short list for me, but they make a pretty compelling case. And if there's anybody's work that I respect most of the entire industry, it's probably Nick Szabo. I know I've only read, I think, one of his works from the Unenumerated blog, and his stuff is really dense, so sometimes it may not come across in audio, but we will definitely be hitting his work in the future. Particularly his stuff I find really interesting about the history of money. Hopefully that's not too dorky for you guys out there, because we will definitely be hitting that sometime soon. So with that, we will conclude today's Cryptoconomy Quick Read. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Cryptoconomy and Medium at The Cryptoconomy as well. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and, of course, share it with all of your Bitcoin and crypto friends. This has been a Cryptoconomy podcast, and I'll catch you next time. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.